In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the beginning, God spoke all things into existence, which means His Word did what it said. For His Word is the sword of the Spirit. It's that scalpel that cuts into you, dissecting your secret thoughts of your heart, and creating faith in you where before His Word came, there was none. And so this Word of God, it fills the void. It fills the empty places, just as it did at the beginning. This Word creates something out of nothing. This Word takes what is dead, like you and me, and it makes us alive in faith because this Word is powerful. And so, whether this Word is spoken in idle conversation, or whether it's spoken in powerful proclamation, whether this Word is spoken by someone in faith, or whether it's spoken in disbelief, this Word about Jesus has power to create saving faith in those who hear it. And thus it was in that official that we heard about in the gospel reading this morning. He had heard this word about Jesus and he believed this word. And so he came to the Word made flesh, Jesus, seeking life for his son. And the Word seems to rebuff him. Jesus isn't really rebuffing him, but he's rebuffing those who seek and who desire signs. Those who will not believe if they are not given a sign. And Jesus says, you, and he's saying you, plural there, not singular, not this guy right in front of him, but people in general, you will not believe unless you see a sign. But for the believer in this word, there is no sign that is needed in order to be seen. You don't have to see a sign to believe. Seeing is not believing for the believer. Hearing is believing, because the sign is that your unbelieving heart has been overcome. It's been replaced with a believing heart. The sign is that the Word worked faith in you. That's the only sign that's needed for the hearer of God's Word. This man was not seeking a sign so that he would believe. Rather, believing the word about Jesus, he came to the one who does signs so that believing in him, we might have life in his name. He came so that his son might have life in the name of Jesus. He believed the word made flesh who gives life to our dying bodies. For this word is the one anointed to give eternal life through forgiveness of your sins. And where there is the removal of sin and death, there is not just emptiness, because the word fills the void. There is life and salvation. And so when the word made flesh said, go, your son will live, in faith that man went. For the miracle of faith was already given to him by the power of this wonder-working word. And so have you ever noticed in Scripture, have you ever noticed how much food and our Lord's Word go hand in hand, how connected they are again and again and again, especially in the New Testament? I mean, after all, we gather Sunday after Sunday to come to an altar to receive bread and wine combined with His own promise. And He says that this bread and wine connected with His Word is the New Testament in His blood, which forgives your sins. Now, there's even more than just the Lord's Supper. There's even more than that. In Luke's Gospel, Luke really focuses an awful lot on all the different times that Jesus was invited around to have food with people, or when Jesus invited Himself over to have food with people. Remember Zacchaeus? You know, Jesus invites Himself, intrudes into that sinner's life, and eats with that man. Jesus, in Luke's Gospel, is always eating with people, and as He's eating, what's He doing? He's teaching. He's speaking this life-giving word to those who will believe and to those who won't believe, but He's doing it there over the supper table, because it's at the supper table that you have fellowship with each other, right? It's there at the supper table that you partake of the Lord, that you are familied with Him and into Him and through Him. Now, in so many of Jesus' parables, you remember those parables? So many of the parables of the kingdom of heaven are almost always portrayed as what? A great big feast. Whether it's a wedding feast or just a great big party thrown for friends. A feast. And in the prophets, you know, Isaiah says, upon this mountain, and he's talking about the end of time. He's talking about what we refer to as heaven, but it's so much more than just what we think of when we think of heaven, you know, clouds and light and fluffy angels. You know, heaven is so much more than that. Isaiah says, upon this mountain, you will have a feast of the finest of wine and the sweetest of meat. That's how the Old Testament describes heaven. Pretty good. The kingdom of heaven portrayed as a feast by our Lord so many times. Now, in John's gospel, John takes it a little bit different way than Luke does. But in John's gospel, Jesus does so much of his teaching at the great feasts that are held in the temple in Jerusalem. Or if he's not doing it at the big feasts there in Jerusalem, it's always something that happens after one of those feasts when all the people who heard him in Jerusalem are coming back to him either in faith or in disbelief. And in response to that, John records Jesus' teaching. And so Jesus' teaching, his word, is always connected somehow to eating, to feasting. Well, this second sign, this miracle that we heard about in the gospel reading today, this second sign that Jesus did so that we might have life in his name, it occurred at the seventh hour of that day. The Word made flesh spoke life into the official sun at the seventh hour, which, if you figure out how Hebrew time works and how they counted the days in that day, the seventh hour is the noontime hour, from noon to 1 o'clock. That's the seventh hour. What are people doing at noon? They're eating. The hour of rest, the hour of sustenance. This is when the official came to our Lord. Healing came to his son over the life-giving rest and refreshment of food which is supplied by our God for our good. His word of rest, his word of life is spoken, healing that man's son while their bodies were being invigorated by food and their souls were being refreshed by the bread of life who gives life to the world. And what happens starting from that hour on? What happens? That son of that man lived. He was healed. And more than that, the whole household of that man believed. The whole household of that man was familied into God's family. And as I said before the service, the other Gospels seem to indicate that this was actually a non-Jew. This was a Gentile. This was a Roman centurion. The Jews would have viewed this man as an oppressor of their people. And here is a Gentile, an unbeliever, one of the dogs, being familied in to the family of God at the hour of food and rest. There they were faithed. There they were fellowshipped into Christ Jesus by the Word which worked this miraculous sign. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, you have been familied into Christ. You have been fellowshipped into Him, into His death by this meal which feeds your body and soul. This meal that you've come here to receive this day, you've been given life in His name. And that works in you a life of faith which hears God's Word made flesh and believes on Him and in Him and takes Him at His Word. And that gives you, it gives you a boldness of faith. That gives you a life set free from the fear of death. For what is death? But a portal, an entry point to eternal life with your Lord now. And fearing no one but your mighty God, for he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And what is faith other than fear and love and trust in our God? Fearing no one but our mighty God who faithed you by his word made flesh, we are free from the fears that plague us in this world. Or at least you can be. And so when those fears crop up on you, turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm afraid. I know I shouldn't be. I know I should only fear you. I'm afraid. Lord, I repent. Help me. I believe, help my unbelief. There is power in that, because that's what faith is. It's fearing God and God alone. And so turn to the Lord and say, hey, Lord, something's going on. I'm afraid of X, Y, or Z. And the Lord can certainly help you with that. Because all these things, this being set free from fear, this forgiveness, this healing, all this stuff God works through His Word, it's not of yourself. It is His miraculous sign unto you. It's the miracle of faith where unbelief resides. He puts faith into you. The miracle of the life of Christ where there was nothing but sin and death, and now Christ lives in you. And so here at His table, we receive His Word connected to bread and wine. It's a sign. It is a miracle of His gracious, life-giving Word. And by faith, we receive His what He promises to us. We receive His very body and blood in which is His life. And He sends us then, after we receive that, He sends us to our homes, just like He sent that man. And He says to us, depart in peace. And we have that promise that we will live with Him forever as members of His royal family, as children of the Heavenly Father, unto the ages of ages. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace which passes all understanding may keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.